If you have your Bibles, let's use them together and read from 1 Timothy chapter 5 to verse 16. First Timothy chapter 5, verse 1 to 16. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers, older men as mothers, younger women as sisters in all purity. Honor widows who are truly widows. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to parents. For this is pleasing in the sight of God. She who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Command these things as well, so that they may be without reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for the four members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than a non-believer. Verse 9. Let a widow be enrolled if she is not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband, and having a reputation for good works. If she has brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work, but refuse to enroll younger widows, for when their passions draw them away from Christ, they desire to marry. And so incur condemnation for having abandoned their former faith. Besides that, they learn to be idols, going about from house to house, and not only idols, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. Verse 14. So I would have younger widows marry, bear children, manage their households, and give the adversary no occasion for slander. For some have already strayed after Satan. If any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them. Let the church not be burdened, so that it may care for those who are truly widows. Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you that we have this opportunity to be here together today at this very moment in time. And I thank you that we were able to sing songs that praised you and for the team that was able to do so and to gather those songs together and the ones that so many years ago have written those songs. And I just thank you that you are a gracious God and your plans and your ways are always perfect. And sometimes we may not always see that at first. And we may struggle, we may even vainly strive, but when we put our trust in you, our striving is no longer in vain. And I thank you for this day that our country, here specifically in Canada, I know there's other places too, but Canada is celebrating for Mother's Day. And I thank you that we have the opportunity as those who have mothers to celebrate and rejoice in the mothers that you have blessed us with. And as believers, we have a right to bless the mothers that you have given to us. Not just today, though, but all days. So I just ask that you would give us strength as those, as believers that have mothers, that we would care for our mothers, our grandmothers, not just today, but all days. And I ask, Father, as well, too, that you would enlighten us as we study through this scripture together on widows and as well rejoice about this day. And again, open our ears and our eyes and our hearts to comprehend and understand. And with my feeble attempt, give me the ability to present to your church what is for their hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, I just love that the Lord works out everything according to his plan. And I just thank Ann Lee too for sharing that too and the situation that's gone on. I know there are probably more that have gone through those situations. I know we have gone through those situations as she was talking about earlier. And they can be a hard time, but the outcome that comes when our trust is in the Lord is what's befitting, is what's good and right and true. The Lord, again, I want to say this, does order our steps and cares for us when we are believers, and He knows exactly what we need and when we will need it. And when we find Scripture to show us that we need to trust in Him so that He can test us, it is good. There's nothing wrong for praying that the Lord would carry you through and test you to see what is going on in your heart, as we heard earlier from the Scriptures from Dieter as well. So trust the Lord. And that comes through testing, and sometimes lots of testing. But it's good because of the fruit that is produced later. So, Mother's Day. We're here and we're in this portion of Scripture. Whoop, I got really loud there. We're in this portion of Scripture in widows, and we're going systematically through Scripture, and we've been going through Timothy for some time, and we've landed right here on this, and I think that it's perfect that the Lord has worked it out that we've landed in this section of Scripture. As it is Mother's Day, this was not planned out, and we've ended up with widows. I know not all widows are always mothers. Sometimes they were not able to bear children or could not, and that's just the fact that it is, and again, the Lord's providence. But we know that there are mothers here today, and we are to have this opportunity to celebrate and rejoice with the mothers that we have, and some maybe have passed on, but we were blessed by those ones that we had. So I thank the Lord. My mother has passed away. She has gone on to be with the Lord, and she was a huge blessing in my life. I know that we didn't always see eye to eye as I was growing up, because I was not a perfect young person, as some may think. But she really was a blessing to me, and I was very thankful to have her because I was able to hear the Word of God. So that was one of the biggest blessings that I could have asked for, was that alone. Whether there was anything else, I got to hear some form of the Scriptures in the way that she presented it to me. So I am very thankful for that. And I hope that others that are here that had believing mothers or grandmothers are thankful for those grandmothers and mothers. And if you're not, you better be. So that's a little advice for you. So I just ask as well too, I said earlier, and as we were praying, just that the Lord would reveal what is intended for both of us as we go through this Scripture. So I started to look at this whole piece here. I was reading through it, and it was good for my soul as I studied through this, and I kept thinking, should I change it? Should I go to different Scriptures? Should I go to another place? Old Testament, New Testament, where should I go, Lord, with this? And I really believe that the Spirit was directing me to stay in this text and to go through it. And something that I looked into with history, just on the history site, online, is that in America, the Incarnation and Mother's Day was created first with Anna Jarvis in 1908, and it became an official U.S. holiday in 1914. So in 1908 is when Anna Jarvis had started the whole Mother's Day thing to promote it more to become the holiday that it is today. And in 1914, it was established. But there's a little bit more to this, too, with something else, too, is that when they were on this as well, they said the celebration of mothers and motherhood, you can trace it back to the ancient Greeks in Rome, and it was to do with festivals honoring the mother goddesses is what it was to do with that. But we can see today that we have an established Mother's Day that is for physical living mothers, and that is what we want to celebrate, not goddesses, that's for sure. But once as well, just a little bit more here, once a major tradition in the United Kingdom and parts of Europe, this celebration, this is to do with Mother's Day, this celebration fell on the fourth Sunday in Lent and was originally seen as a time when the faithful would return to their mother church, the main church in the vicinity of their home, for a special service. So I think that that's interesting. To me, it was. And then later on in time, the whole Mother's Day, the secular idea of the holiday started to come about. And it was children presenting their mothers with gifts, flowers, and appreciation. And in time, it became, as we clearly know, very popular. But something else, get this. Before the Civil War, this was Ann Reeves Jarvis, who was Ann Jarvis's mother, Ann Reeves Jarvis. So she, in the Civil War in Virginia, helped start Mother's Day work clubs. So guess what these clubs were for? Teaching local mothers how to properly care for their children. That I find amazing. Because often we can celebrate, and there's nothing wrong with celebrating, and we give flowers, we give gifts. I know I got somebody asking to pick up some gifts for me, or a gift for the other day, because I wasn't in town and wanted to get from somewhere for Rachel. But there's nothing wrong with giving flowers or taking them for supper or making breakfast in bed. Breakfast in bed. There's nothing wrong with doing that. Those are good things. But it's not and should not be just one day. We should praise women, our mothers, our grandchildren, our grandmothers. We should give praise to them in our actions and in the things, in the ways that we present with our words. And then it proves true as believers in where we stand with our faith in God, because we show it in our actions towards our mothers, I mean myself as my wife, but as well with our grandparents. And that's where this whole thing falls into with the widows. But just to go a little further here, these clubs later became a unifying force in the region of the country when the Civil War was still going on and there was division still happening. So this Mother's Friendship Day is what it was, at which mothers gathered with former Union and Confederate soldiers to promote reconciliation, is what started to happen after this showing of mothers and how to care for their children and their families. Then there was a promoting of a reconciliation when the Civil War was going on. But just to leave that aside, then in the 1900s, because of Ann Reeves Jarvis's mother's work, Ann Jarvis arose. And Anna's mother's death, she planned. So after her death, so Anna, there's like lots of Annas here. So the mom, when she passed, then the daughter, Anna, decided that she wanted to have a day that was specifically set aside giving praise to mothers. And after gaining financial backing on this, she organized the first official Mother's Day, celebrated in 1908 at a Methodist church in West Virginia. Anna Jarvis herself never married and never had children her whole life. Nothing of that form. But she wanted this to come forth. By 1912, many states and towns all around had started to do this. This is to do with the states is where I took this from, but we've incorporated this within Canada ourselves with Mother's Day off of this whole portion as well. So then, every second Sunday of May, this was started that it would be a Mother's Day, a holiday, an annual holiday every year, come about because of her devotion to do so. Her version of the day for her, though, the daughter here, her day, that involved wearing a white carnation as a badge and visiting one's mother or attending church services. Once it became a holiday, it didn't take long for florists, card companies, and other companies to benefit from this. And I think we see that a bit today. And again, there's nothing wrong with buying your wife a card, or buying your mother a card, I should say. But get this, in 1920, she was displeased with the commercialization of the holiday. This is Anna, the daughter. She was displeased with the holiday and urged people to stop purchasing gifts for Mother's Day. Then Jarvis eventually resorted to an open campaign against Mother's Day profiteers, speaking out against confectioners, florists, and even charities. She also launched countless lawsuits against groups that had used the name Mother's Day. And then she kept going further and almost used all of her wealth to take them to court. By the time of her death in 1948, Jarvis had disowned the holiday altogether and even actively lobbied the government to see it removed from the American calendar. So, that is quite interesting. Someone who went forward with it and then did not want it, but it wasn't what she wanted. She didn't want it to become something that just sons or daughters go buy some flowers and give it to a mother. She wanted it to be more than that because she saw her mother who diligently wanted young women who have kids to learn how to raise their children. And I think that the first part of how it started, even though it's come to what it is today, doesn't mean that we don't have the ability to celebrate, as I'm sure many of you have celebrated already today or are going to in some form or another. But my first point, respect the godly widow. So I'm not going to focus on verse 1 and 2. I'm going to pass through those where it talks with verse 1 specifically. I'm just going to blow past that, but I want to read it to you again, verse 1 and 2 of chapter 5 of Timothy. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, in all purity. The first part there, we're just going to push the men aside this time, and we're going to go to the women there. And purity for the younger sister in Christ. Older women, as mothers, this is what's supposed to happen for brothers in Christ in the church. Just think of that. Think of them, myself, the older women, as mothers, and then younger women as sisters. This is for men. In all purity. But when we look at verse 2, Paul implores us by saying older women are important. Younger women are important. Both women hold a major role in the home and the church. They are to be regarded with respect and honor, but not only by the husband and the children of the home. The church is called to care for women. God cares about women and established how important it is for blood family and the church to know how to care for women, and especially widows. Then verse 3, let's read it together. Honor widows who are truly widows. This explains that a widow who has lost her protection, which often it would end up to be like that, right? As a protection for her, her spouse is gone, is to be protected by the household of God, the church, unless she has family. Then they need to learn how to follow biblical guidelines and caring for the widow. Again, I want you to remember this is talking about the believing person. This is what this is laying forward for us, for the believing person. This is how it's supposed to go forward. This is an important for the believer to walk out faith when they say, I believe in the Lord Jesus. As we know, James talked about proving your faith, show it true, show that you have faith by your actions. And then, let's read verse 8. Verse 8 and verse 16, these two verses. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for the members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Verse 16, if any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them. Let the church not be burdened, so that it may care for those who are truly widows. The church is to be a guide. Paul, as we've been going through Timothy, this was a guide for the church to follow these truths, to lay them before the church. Timothy was to come and do so, along with those other leaders that were put in place with him, to be a guide of what is true and what is right. And a widow was to be cared for in some form. God does not forget about the widow. He has not forgotten about the widow. He clearly and has planned out for women to be taken care of. Now, in verse 4, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. Now, the word godliness, I thought was a very interesting word, because we did see this earlier with Paul too when he talked about godliness. Train yourself for godliness, he said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. And godliness in Greek, going off this verse in verse 4, is worship, and exercising piety. Study the word and live out your knowledge through the work of the Spirit that enables you. Not out of your own ability, but the Spirit and the work of the Spirit in your life enables you to do. Believing children and grandchildren, men and women, are acting out their worship to God by caring for widows. This is a form of worship. The believing widow who gave of her life for God is now cared for by those who have benefited from her life in faith in her Savior. But if you're a stupid child or a grandchild and treat your blood-believing mother or grandmother with disrespect, then you will not follow suit and you will not listen to the teachings of Paul and you will not take it and bind it up and use it for what it is worth. But if you listen to the heeding of the scriptures, you will be a benefit to older women and to younger women, as we talked about with purity to a sister. And you will be pleasing in the eyes of God. I think that's always something to remember, is that God sees you always. And sometimes we can easily forget this. I know we were laughing the other day on the road. You know, you can drive if the speed limit's 100, and then you can go maybe 105, 110. Maybe you are really wanting to, and you drive 115, 120, 130, whatever it may be, but you're like, well, if I don't get caught, I'm okay. Well, God, who sees all things and knows all things, sees you. So whether you get caught by a police officer, God has seen you and what you're doing. So as you leave here today, if you have to drive 50, make sure you don't go 60, because God will see you. No, there is a little bit of leeway. We know that with the law. There's a little bit of movement. Maybe your tires are bigger, whatever it may be. True religion is this, James 1:25 and 27. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Just those last words, he'll be blessed in his doing. He'll be blessed in his doing. Verse 27, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. True religion laid out there for us. That's just the short one sentence. All scripture speaks and pours into that verse and out from that verse. But I want to give you a little story with my first years of ministry. When we were first married and we were going to be moving again, the Lord just really laid upon my heart to want to care for widows. I don't know what the reason, what like exactly why, but it just was on my heart that I wanted to care for widows. And in this time, I had my job. I was laid off, and we were going to be moving again because nothing was working out for another job. So lo and behold, we ended up moving back to Priestville, Saskatchewan, where both of our parents were at that time. And when we got back there, I knew that I had this on my heart to want to help widows. Well, as soon as I got back there, there was a lady in the church. She had a son and her husband, and they were at home with her at this time. They were farming. Her husband actually had no arms. He had lost his arms in a baling accident and still persisted to farm years after that. Sometimes it was quite scary when you were with him because he would drive all the equipment and everything too, and he had his hook and he would hook it in the steering wheel. But he was determined to do it. He would lift and carry straw bales and he would do it all. He was very, very determined with that. Kind of stubborn, I could say, actually, at some times. But he persisted with it. His son was farming with him, but then this woman, her husband passed away. And then as well, her son ended up passing away. Well, she did have family. They were in another province, but they were unable to help her. But I knew that, again, I had this whole thing when beforehand that it was pressed upon me that I should be helping the widows because Scripture clearly says it. She was within the church. And I did that. I went forward with that. The Lord had cared for us in that time. We had saved up some finances too, so the financial part didn't matter. She didn't pay me, and then there were some other men that I brought along to help me as well with doing this, and from time to time they would help, and then she wanted to sell everything off and have an auction. So her equipment wasn't the best. They were pretty hard on their equipment. the husband and the son. They drove it pretty hard. So anyways, it needed a little bit of work to get it going so that she would actually get some form of profit or be able to care for herself in some form of that way. So I worked on the equipment, got others to help me. We did a bunch of welding, and quite a bit of work, extensive work to get it for a sale, for an auction. And she was blessed in this way. And she didn't have finances to take care of us. And that's why the Lord cared for myself and my family, my young family at the time, to be able to not have to take finances from her. So, again, the Lord knows exactly what we need when we need it. And she needed it then. And she brought along the means to be able to do it. And she was blessed and thankful for it. She did give me food, I have to say, when I would be out there for the day. She would care for me with food, which was nice. And in the end, she sold it all off. She didn't make a huge profit, but she did make a bit. And then in the end, she ended up going to live with her family. Her family then took her in and took care of her. And I haven't talked to her for a long time, so I don't know where she is today or anything, so I can't tell you any of that stuff. But I hope that she is still in the faith, and I hope that she's following the Lord. So, she wasn't my mother, she wasn't my grandmother, but I knew that the Lord had pressed upon me to follow Scripture, and I followed through with it. She didn't have family that was here to take care of her, and that's what I went to do. And don't forget that. We need to follow what God is calling us to follow, and then bring it back to Scripture. If the Lord has said, okay, here's something for you that we believe it's the Lord speaking to us, spiritually saying to us, and we need to come back to the Scriptures, and we need to study the Scriptures to see. You don't always have to just go as soon as, oh, God said, oh, I got to, right now in this moment, I got to do it. There's nothing wrong with just stopping, slowing down, and going, Lord, you've said this, how do I know? And then you as well can bring other brothers and sisters alongside to give you guidance. So, true widows have set themselves to God. My next point. This is with verse 5. She who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. I love that verse. Right at the end, when it says, and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. I don't know if anyone's had a mother who's been continuous in prayers. I have, and I was very blessed to have such a mother as that. So, the word continues, though, in here, in the Greek means to remain constant, to persevere in remaining in. A perfect example of this, I'm sure maybe, or maybe some of you are thinking of this, is Luke 2:36-38. I'm going to read it. And there was a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem when Jesus came in. And she praised the name of the Lord. After being widowed, she remained in the Lord in prayer night and day. She preserved in God. She persevered in God. Not preserved in God. She persevered in God, and she was at the temple, and she served by her prayers and fasting. And she stayed at the temple. She stayed in the Lord is what it was. She was bound to her Lord because he was bound to her. Of course, a true widow, verse 9 and 10, let's read again. Let a widow be enrolled if she is not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband, and having a reputation for good works, if she has brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work. So there we go. Widows, they got a whole bunch of roles for them and rules for them that they have to do beforehand before they get the benefits, right? No, it's not about rules. It's about the action of the Spirit and what the Spirit does in our life. Then good works happen. It's not, I'm going to do good works and make myself look like something so that everyone sees me and goes, ooh, look at that nice, perfect person, or, oh, yes. No, it's about trusting in the Lord, and then the Spirit does the work and enables us to be able to do the work outwardly. And that's what James was talking about as well when he talked about his faith. The Spirit's doing a work, so then there's going to be some kind of action that happens afterwards. We know that with any sport. You learn a sport and you practice a sport, something's got to happen. If you're learning something, you got to be able to present something when you come to the games. You got to be able to do something. You don't just stand there. You do it because you've been practicing in it, as Timothy was to do, and as Timothy was to take the church then to do. And widows have come up in this portion here. So she was a husband of one, good works, and hospitable. And on it just went that I just talked about. She is not dead. She is alive in the Lord and was alive before widowhood. Not just now, before widowhood, she was alive. She had been given to the Lord. She had given her life to the Lord. In and through Christ is how she lived. Something else as well is too is that a wife of one husband and brought up her children. She was given to her husband, and as well she brought up her children in the Lord and taught them the ways of the Lord. She followed the Lord, following after her God-given role as a wife, and raised her children. Then in verse 10, devoted herself to every good work. Her life proved that she was not dead. She was a believer. She believed Christ could even save her, the one who come in the flesh. And the Spirit worked in her own life to produce good works. This widow was unlike the widow in verse 6. Let's read it. But she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. When it says she lives, lives is a verb, meaning alive, but literally dead. A dead woman walking. Self-indulgent in the Greek, in the meaning of it in the Greek is to live in luxury. So that's the dead woman. She satisfied the desires of the flesh, and she flaunts her luxury outwardly. She walked about flaunting her wealth to all. Another way to see this is the dead woman cannot produce works because she has not obtained life in Christ. She's dead. What does a dead person do? Absolutely nothing, right? She is still dead in her sin. She walked around with her bojangles, making herself known. She is noisy, making you know she has wealth. Her worth is in her own wealth. Her worth isn't in the Lord. This is not a true widow. When my mother was alive, she prayed and she fasted and she gave generously. She prayed for me all the time. She always told me. And when I was a fool and running around and didn't want to serve the Lord because I didn't believe there was a God, but I rejected him in my own life, she prayed. And what a blessing it is when we have mothers and grandparents, grandmothers that are willing to pray. It is a huge blessing. And diligently praying. I know my wife prays and diligently prays, and she often prays many hours for all of you. And she comes back and she tells me all the time of the answered prayers. So do you remember what I said about... Oh, actually, I'll just read it to you. 1 Timothy 2, 9, and 10. If you have your Bible, flip back there. It says, 1 Timothy 2, 9, and 10. It says, likewise also, the woman should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, and not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness, with good works. This is a godly woman. This is a believing woman. This is the production that is coming about. Godly woman was not to flaunt herself, right? Her presentation on the outside. This doesn't mean that you can't wear a nice dress. We've talked about all this stuff beforehand. This isn't what this is saying for women or for mothers. That you can't put on a nice dress and your family can't take you out to dinner. That's not what this is saying. A godly woman was not to flaunt herself. Her worth is not in her costly attire, whether she's wealthy or not. It's not that her worth is in her wealth. Her quality was her worth in God and not her money or looks. What a beautiful thing it really is when a woman realizes her worth in Christ. She lives a life of godliness in her role, a as a woman. What a beautiful thing it is. Women have much worth. And our culture is trying to make women's worth garbage. It really is. They want women, as we just heard about, losing a child. They want women to murder babies and not to raise them. They want women to murder babies so that they can keep going with their careers instead of raising the life of a child. There's a child on the window in the back there in the child's room looking at me. Actually, she's not now. She's looking away. But children are a blessing. Mothers are a blessing. But something that has been a lie in our culture and is still a lie today is with sexuality. It's a big industry. And our culture wants women to believe that their sexuality is their identity, that their sexuality is something that enables them. And it's Satan that runs this and his little minions. But our culture is like that. But we, as the church, can counter culture in how we represent mothers, how we represent the widow. What a role we have, and what a role Christian mothers play in our society by ruling, by caring and ruling well in their homes, by being a helpmate to their husband and raising their children in the way of God. Just think about Timothy's mother and grandmother. They were amazing. And Paul talks about it. And he makes sure that he talks about it in this letter in Timothy, because he wanted it to be known that these women taught Timothy the ways of God. They brought him to the scriptures instead of trying to make him see that he needs to have a good career and have money. They wanted him to know the Savior, because they believed. A true widow gives her life to her Savior. She lives in and through Christ. As Stephen Lawson says, a high view of God makes high and holy living. Care for your family. It takes time and money to raise a family. It strains your finances, it strains your mind, and takes much priority in your life. A mother cares for her children and her husband. She deserves to be cared for by those who cared for her. A widow who has been faithful to the Lord is commended by God, and it is a command of believing families in the church to take care of her and to give back. Otherwise, they are worse than a non-believer. So they need to actively live out their faith. Otherwise, they don't believe really. It's just a facade. They've just put something on to make it look like it is something else. They've tried to live in good works by making you think that they do good works, but they don't have the work of the Spirit on their heart. So when we trust in the Lord, we can produce good works, and we need to always urge each other on to do so. If a widow has no family to care for her, the church must. It is a command. The family, and as well, the church. It says in John 19:26-27, it says, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Jesus cared for his mother. He loved his mother. He was willing, as he was going to the cross, to get someone else to care for his mother. Mothers are important. Widows are important. Matthew 25:35-36. It says, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then in verse 40 it says, and the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Come and enter my courts, my good and faithful servant. I would say this could apply to the believing widow and the one who takes care of the widow. and the mother as well that takes care of her family. In closing, older women, know this. It is a command of the Lord that if you are a believing married woman and you lose your husband, that your own children, grandchildren, are to care for you. And if they are not doing so, then the church as well is to step up in this area. God is not nearsighted. He knows all things. He sees all things. The scriptures are for all cultures. We know this. We need to believe this. Don't forget this. The scriptures are for all cultures. He knows that his children will need encouragement to walk out faith in action. Another thing with application for this. If your mother, and then we'll close together in prayer. If your mother, grandmother, or your wife is alive today, today is a day given by our country to give her praise. Acknowledge her. Make much of her. Our culture needs to know the importance of motherhood. But today is a day that reminds us of how important mother's role and widows have in our culture, and the responsibility that we have as believers have a right to project that not just today. We don't just go, oh, I'm going to praise her today. That's it. This is every day. How do you speak? How do you speak to them? How do you talk to them? What are your words? What are your affirmations for them? How do you care for them? In a spiritual way. So it doesn't stop us just today. As Christians, we live in today, not yesterday, or maybes, or shoulda, coulda, woulda. We do have a future glory that awaits us, but we need to live in today. And to live in today, we have to live through the work of Christ that he has done upon us today. And in order to do that, we have to trust and believe him that he will care for us today. And if you have a mother today, care for your mother today. And show her honor, not just in your words, but in your actions. A widow too, care for her, not just in words, but actions. And lavish her with beautiful gifts. Maybe tell her how grateful you are for putting up with you. And then massage her feet. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity again to be here today. I thank you so much for mothers. They give so much. Physical, body, ups and downs that they go through, hormones that they go through, all the things that they go through with just day-to-day life, caring for the family, for their husbands. And then to be grandparents as well, a grandmother. What a blessing they are. And I know, Father, there are other spiritual mothers here today too that have given of themselves in a spiritual way to be a mother to the church. I know there are ones here too that are like a mother to me in their spiritual care for me and the encouragement that they give to me and the uplifting that they give to me. What a blessing they are, Father, and I thank you for them. And I just ask that everyone here who has had a mother, and everyone has, so I just ask that we would love our mothers because we first understand the love that you have given to us. And then we can give that love to our mothers, not just today though, every day that we are in and alive in. We must show respect and honor to the widow, show respect and honor to mothers. So I thank you, Father, that you have opened my eyes to see your grace. I thank you that you have opened so many of our eyes to see the grace that was given through your Son, and that your Son was on the cross and he saw his mother and he cared about his mother beforehand. Before he went to the cross, I should say, your Son cared about his mother to establish someone in his life that would care for her. He didn't just leave her. This shows a true God that went to the cross, a God that died for our sins. I thank you that we have a Savior. What a blessing. Bless us today, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we do the last song, we're going to do it a little bit different. So I'm going to get, I don't know if the little children, they were coming at some point. I don't see them yet. They're not here. Okay, that's okay. But we're going to just, everyone stay sitting in your seats, other than women who are mothers, to stand. And then, you don't have to stand yet though, but we have something that the young ones are going to give. And then, yeah, so they're going to sing the song. Yeah, sing your, the team's going to come up, they're going to sing their song, and then it just works easier if the other ones who are not mothers stay sitting, and then the young ones will know for sure who to give it to. So that's the reason for sitting on the last song. So as they play the last song, mothers stand, and I don't see any kids though, so it's no children yet. Stay sitting, all of you. And then when the children come, mothers stand up so that they can find you. They have something they want to give you. So you get to sit through this song.
To God be the glory, great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory. Great things He hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood. To every believer, the promise of God, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory. Great things He hath done. Great things He has taught us, great things He has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory. Great things He hath done. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory. Great things He hath done.
If you're a mother too and you didn't receive one, let us know. With our benediction, I took from Luke 1:46-49, it says, "And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Amen. Have a blessed Mother's Day.